You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Well, the trading week has come to an end. US-China trade war has escalated. Sensex and Nifty have crashed. Japan and Russia may finally end their World War II hostilities. Jeff Bezos has unveiled a moon lander and revealed his dream of a trillion humans living in bucolic space colonies. These and other big stories of the day on the only podcast you need to listen to throughout the course of the day with me, Rakesh Sharma, right here on Money Control. Infrastructure major Larsen & Toubro today reported a 7.9% rise in its consolidated profit after tax, that is PAT, at 3,418.24 crore rupees for the quarter ended March 2019. Its PAT stood at 3,167.47 crores during the corresponding period a year ago, according to a BSE filing. Consolidated income in the said quarter increased to 45,555.29 crore rupees from 41,091.04 crore rupees in January to March 2018. The board of directors has also recommended a dividend of 18 rupees per equity share, which is subject to the approval of shareholders. In more earnings news, the country's largest lender, State Bank of India, that is SBI, reported a standalone net profit of 838.4 crore rupees for the March quarter of the financial year 2018-2019. The state-owned lender had posted a loss of 7,711.17 crore rupees in the year-ago period. Net interest income during the quarter came in at 22,954 crore rupees, up 15% on a year-on-year basis. Basic EPS, that is earnings per share, stood at 0.94 rupees, that is 94 paise, against 4 rupees 43 paise in the December quarter. Analysts had expected SBI to post a net profit around 3,900 crore rupees, up 0.3% on a sequential basis. But that was not to be. Gross NPAs declined to 7.53% against 8.71% in the previous quarter and 10.91% in the corresponding quarter of the previous fiscal. So some good news there on the NPAs front. Net NPAs during the period came in at 3.01% against 3.95% in the previous quarter and 5.73% in the year-ago quarter. In more public sector bank earnings news, Allahabad Bank, which came out of the RBI's PCA framework only in February and into which the government has infused capital of about 6,896 crore rupees, has posted a net loss of 3,834 crore rupees in quarter 4 of FY19 against a net loss of about 3,510 crore rupees in the same period of FY18. The net loss of the bank in quarter 2 of FY19 was about 733 crore rupees. The gross NPAs of the bank as a percentage of total lending stood at 17.55% in the last quarter against 15.96% in the corresponding quarter of FY18. The net NPA of the bank stood at 5.22% in the last quarter against 8.04% of the corresponding period of FY18. The provisions for NPA in the last quarter stood at 5,279 crore rupees against 5,126 crore rupees in the same period of the FY18. Now, some Jet Airways news. Today was the last day to receive bids for troubled airline Jet Airways. The livelihood of 22,000 employees and their families depends on whether or not there will be a successful bid. So far, SBI has said there have been two unsolicited bids it received on Friday. The deadline only just expired at 6 p.m. And just before that, we have received news that Etihad has submitted its bid for the airline. The airline, unable to compete against the low-cost airlines and suffering due to some mismanagement issues, has had to close all its operations since the 17th of April. With no working capital, the airline has also failed to repay debts of over $1.2 billion. After closing the doors for expression of interest on the 12th of April, SBI CAPS, which is overseeing the whole bidding process, had shortlisted four suitors: Etihad Airways, TPG Capital, Indigo Partners, and NIIF, that is National Investment and Infrastructure Fund. Employees themselves have submitted a plan for the revival of the airline, and like I said, latest reports have confirmed that Etihad has submitted its bid for the airline. What the decision of SBI CAPS is going to be will be one to watch out for, not just because it is interesting business news, but also because thousands of livelihoods depend on that decision. In a Money Control exclusive, Ashwin Mohan has reported that online financial product marketplace Bank Bazaar has initiated talks with investors for raising capital. The Chennai-headquartered firm, which counts Amazon and venture capital fund Sequoia Capital among its major stakeholders, last raised funds in October 2017. One individual Money Control spoke to said, and I quote, Bank Bazaar has recently mandated investment bank UBS to raise between $80 million and $100 million. The person went on to say, and I quote, key performance ratios have more than doubled since the last fundraising round in 2017, and in this round, the valuation of the company should comfortably be upwards of $500 million, unquote. In October 2017, UK-based credit rating agency and information management company Experian picked up a 10% stake in BankBazaar for $30 million, valuing the marketplace around $300 million. BankBazaar, as we know, was founded by Adil Shetty, Arjun Shetty, and Rati Shetty in 2008. The marketplace helps consumers compare offers on credit and debit cards, loans, savings and investment products, and insurance across various banks and NBFCs. Its rival in this segment include Policybazaar, which became a unicorn last year and is the dominant player in the space. The others are CoverFox, My Insurance Club, etc. Earlier this year, BankBazaar tied up with Ujjivan Small Finance Bank for providing personal loans. Frequent flyers, here is a discount alert for you guys. National carrier Air India today announced a new offer to sell last-moment tickets at a huge discount. Air India's last-moment inventory, available 3 hours ahead of departing time, will be sold at a discount, normally exceeding 40% of the selling price, according to a report on ANI. The discount will be applicable from tomorrow across economy class seats on all domestic routes. The decision was taken at a commercial review meeting of Air India at its headquarters today. These tickets are aimed towards helping those traveling for emergencies when ticket prices could be unaffordable and prevent them from traveling. German industrial conglomerate ThyssenKrupp said today it expected the European Commission to block its plan to merge its European steel business with Indian steel giant Tata. ThyssenKrupp and Tata Steel expect that the planned joint venture of their European steel activities will not go ahead due to the Commission's continuing concerns, said the German company in a statement. Now, looking outward, what's happening in the rest of the world? As per a report on Bloomberg, US President Donald Trump, the morning after levying fresh tariffs on China, said talks between the two countries continue in a very congenial manner and that there was absolutely no need to rush. Trump, in a string of Twitter posts, said the process has begun to place additional tariffs at 25% on the remaining $325 billion worth of Chinese goods imported by the US, and claimed money received from tariffs would be used to purchase agricultural products from US farmers to ship to other countries for food aid. Trump also said waivers on some products would be granted or go to new source, though of course, in typical fashion, he did not elaborate. In the meantime, we will continue to negotiate with China in the hopes that they do not again try to redo the deal, he went on to write in a tweet. China has said it will be forced to retaliate, though hasn't yet specified how or when it will do so. Discussions between Xi Jinping's top trade envoy and his US counterparts in Washington made little progress yesterday, with the mood around them downbeat, according to people familiar with the talks, as reported by CNBC. The negotiations were due to resume later Friday morning, Washington time. Meanwhile, Trump's tariff increase to 25% on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods took effect today. The biggest Chinese import sector affected by the rate hike is a $20 billion plus category of internet modems, routers, and other data transmission devices, followed by about $12 billion worth of printed circuit boards used in a vast array of US-made products. One analyst claimed that the tariffs will drive down exports and suppress job gains for the industry by as much as 400,000 jobs over 10 years. It will also, he said, invite China to hit back at American businesses, farmers, communities, and families, unquote. Well, what new hell this round of trade talks or wars or whatever they choose to call it will rot upon us, we'll of course be here to tell you all about it, unfortunately. Now, as per a report on CNBC, Jeff Bezos, the chairman of Amazon and founder of Blue Origin, unveiled his space company's lunar lander called Blue Moon for the first time on Thursday. This vehicle is going to the moon, said Bezos during a presentation to media and space industry executives. Hedging his bets on the closest celestial body to Earth, he said, and I quote, "We were given a gift, this nearby body called the moon," unquote. He added that the moon is a good place to begin manufacturing in space due to its lower gravity than the Earth. Getting resources from the moon, he said, takes 24 times less energy to get it off the surface compared to the Earth. And he said that is a huge lever, unquote. The Blue Moon lander can bring 3.6 metric tons to the lunar surface, according to Bezos. Bezos also unveiled the company's BE-7 rocket engine at the event. The engine engine will be test-fired for the first time this summer, according to Bezos. It's largely made of printed parts. In recent times, Vice President of America Mike Pence has directed NASA to return U.S. astronauts to the surface of the moon within the next 5 years, that is by 2024. And of course, as we all know, the top man in the White House likes his Space Force. Whatever the hell that is. Bezos seems to agree with Vice President Mike Pence, and he said it's time to go back to the moon, and this time, stay. Unquote. Bezos' ultimate destination is not the moon, but just space itself, specifically as envisioned by Princeton physicist Gerard K. O'Neill. Bezos described on Thursday a dreamy and rather ambitious vision of the future, a trillion people in space, living not on moons or planets, but in bucolic space colonies. That is, of course, in direct contrast with what Musk wants to do, which is to colonize Mars. In recent times, we have, of course, seen Elon Musk become a very visible presence in the space exploration and rocket launching arenas. But Bezos founded his rocket company in 2000, which means that it has been around longer than the other rocket peddling billionaire's project, SpaceX. Musk, of course, launched SpaceX in 2002. On Thursday, Bezos seemed to take indirect aim at Musk's vision of establishing a colony on Mars. He said, giant space colonies rotating to provide artificial gravity would be a much more practical solution to settling humans across the solar system. Mars, the moon, and other destinations would not provide all that much space to live, and of course, they're distant and largely inhospitable. Elon Musk, on his part, has replied in the only way he knows how, in character as a parody of himself. He tweeted a picture of the lander that is called Blue Moon, except the label on the lander didn't read Blue Moon, it said Blue Balls. And of course, the text accompanying the picture read, "Stop teasing, Jeff." This, of course, is not the first time that Elon Musk has trolled the Amazon CEO. As CNBC noted in a report, last month, Amazon announced plans to launch more than 3,000 satellites to provide internet to unserved and underserved communities. Musk subsequently called Bezos a copycat in a tweet because SpaceX had announced its own plans to launch internet satellites in 2018. In big news coming out of America, in IPO news, the only one that matters is upon us. Uber priced its IPO at $45 a share on Thursday toward the lower end of its stated range. At the IPO price of $45 per share, the company will be valued on a non-diluted basis at about $75.46 billion, which will put the stock market's cap right around the size of Caterpillar's and make it one of the most valuable companies ever to go public. On a fully diluted basis, Uber has an implied market valuation of $82.4 billion, according to a report on CNBC. That is likely to be the largest IPO since 2014 and one of the biggest in US history, period. Early reports suggested that Uber was seeking a valuation of as much as $120 billion. Its expected range was between $44 and $50 a share, according to a filing last month. The company is offering 180 million shares of common stock, which means it could raise around $8.1 billion today when the stock markets open, with an option for underwriters to buy an additional 27 million shares. A ride-hailing pioneer and Silicon Valley darling and the poster child of unicorns, Uber made on-demand transportation a new norm throughout the world while accumulating massive losses and controversy along the way. It even contributed a word to the lexicon, if you will, any hailing service. Call anything and you call it Uber for X, Uber for Y, etc. In 2018, Uber's revenue reached $11.3 billion for the year, up 43% from 2017, while reporting adjusted losses of $1.8 billion, which was certainly an improvement over the losses of $2.6 billion in 2017, according to its IPO filing. Just for the record, the company has never turned a profit. Now, away from business, let's find out some geopolitical tensions and how they might just be coming to an end in talks about the Second World War. Japan and Russia will be holding talks on territorial disputes today on Friday. Japan Today reported that Japan and Russia's foreign ministers will hold a new round of talks in Moscow on Friday today, aiming to resolve a territorial dispute between the two countries. Russia's foreign ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said on Wednesday, Japan has been mounting a push to resolve a dispute over four islands known as the Northern Territories in Japan and the Southern Kuriles in Russia, which has prevented Moscow and Tokyo from formally ending their World War II hostilities. So, the Second World War was in the 1940s, but it hasn't really ended between Japan and Russia because of this particular issue, and perhaps in 2019, we might see an end of that. Well, we've toured the world, we've been to space, we've seen Amazon's moon landers, we've also spoken about Russia and Japan trying to end their hostilities. But when we come back to the election news coming out of India, there is no way that there could be an end of hostilities there. According to a report on PTI, BJP's East Delhi candidate Gautam Gambhir sent a notice to Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal, Manish Sisodia and Atishi on Thursday, demanding their apology after being accused of being involved in distribution of obscene and derogatory pamphlets against his AAP rival. That is, of course, Atishi Marlena, or Atishi as she goes by. In the notice, the trio, that is Arvind, Manish and Atishi, was asked to withdraw their allegations against the cricketer turned politician and tender an unconditional apology. Earlier in the day, Gambhir had said he would withdraw from the Lok Sabha contest if the charge was proved against him. "I declare that if it's proven that I did it, I will withdraw my candidature right now. If not, will you quit politics?" he said in a tweet addressed to Aam Aadmi Party Supremo Kejriwal, as well as Atishi, the party candidate from East Delhi. Atishi broke down reading a pamphlet containing obscene and derogatory remarks against her on Thursday. She alleged that the pamphlets were distributed in the constituency by her BJP rival. Gambhir slammed Kejriwal in a series of tweets, saying he was ashamed to have him as the Chief Minister of Delhi. The political atmosphere in the national capital vitiated hours before the poll campaigning concluded on Friday evening, with the BJP and the Aam Aadmi Party indulging in a bitter blame game. Gautam Gambhir tweeted, and I quote, "I abhor your act of outraging a woman's modesty, Arvind Kejriwal, and that too, your own colleague. And all this for winning elections? You are filth, Mr. CM, and someone needs your very own jhadu or broom to clean your dirty mind," unquote. That's what the tweet said. In a statement, the political greenhorn, Gautam Gambhir, had earlier said there were five women in his family and that he would not resort to such petty politics. He had said, "I will not let the AAP leaders go scot-free. I will file defamation suit against them." Atishi has alleged that the pamphlets containing derogatory remarks about her, as well as her family, were distributed by the BJP at housing complexes in East Delhi. "I had welcomed Gambhir myself when he joined politics, but I never imagined that he would stoop to this level in the Lok Sabha polls," she went on to say. Well, those were some stories that made some noise today in India and the world. Before I let you go for the day and the week, let's find out what happened on Dalal Street. The final tally: the BSE Sensex plunged 95 points to close at 37,462, while Nifty 50 closed 22 points lower at 11,278. This was the 8th consecutive day of fall on Dalal Street. Well, there you have it, all caught up. If you want to write into us, do please, because we encourage that very, very much. I love reading emails from you. mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us, and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been today's Editor's Pick, and you've been listening to Money Control.